Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends, and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight, a different kind of spiritual program. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Sometimes I am asked if that is my real name, and I say yes, certainly it is my real name. It's just not the name that I was born with. It is a spiritual name that was given to me in Sweat Lodge and Sweat Ceremony, in Itsipi Sacred Sweat Ceremony, by my friend and mentor, Hoop Watcher, also known as Iggy Garcia. And this is his channel. We're on the With Insights channel of Blog Talk Radio, and Iggy himself has a show on this channel. You can catch it on Mondays at 6. Iggy and his sister Rosa do intuitive readings. And also we have Jenny Seek, who does a program called the Inner Voice Intuitive Hour on Tuesdays at 7. I know I don't want to make my friend Heather Tapia mad at me, but I just have not been able to confirm whether she's still doing her Wednesday show or not. And I've also heard that Ananda of Love may be coming back. So I really need to sit down with Iggy and figure out some of these things so that I can pass along accurate information to you. But I know that Iggy and Rosa are on Mondays at 6. Jenny Seek is on Tuesdays at 7, and I'm on Fridays at midnight. I'm the fool who agreed to do that time slot. No, I love it, because you know I'm here with you, and it's weird, and it's odd, and it's sort of broken, and I love all of those things. So anyway, I am a card-carrying shaman, and my modality is the written and spoken word. I must say that distinctly. You know what? Let me veer off course here, which I am prone to do on this show, because it just reminded me of the written thing. It's in English, words seem to degenerate over time, especially spoken words. So first it's written, and then it's written, and then it's written, and pretty soon we're just saying. So I do have to be mindful, especially when I'm doing this kind of show over a cell phone, for heaven's sakes. But I do need to enunciate my words sometimes so that you can hear what Mato is saying. And incidentally, you know, I have, you know, once this football season thing is over with, I'm going to make a concerted effort to restore my Skype, my computer. My Skype went all screwy on me, which I should have expected after Microsoft bought it, but never mind. And I just kind of gave up on it. I am going to take a look at that and see if I can get my Skype working again so that I can talk to you on in a way that you'll probably be able to hear me a lot better, as opposed to trying to make sense of what I'm saying into the cell phone. But anyway, written and spoken word, actually, and saying that word, the D's instead of the T's. We say the word is written, but we say written, you know, just get rid of it. I was in the Dominican Republic on vacation years ago when I used to be able to do stuff like that. And I had just had dinner with a lovely Dominican lady, and we were sitting poolside at this resort where I was vacationing, and she was wearing earrings that were in the shape of butterflies. And I said that I liked her earrings, and she said that they were, I mean, she said the Spanish word for butterfly, which I don't remember. And she asked me, you know, what is it in English? And I said, you know, butterfly. I said, well, really, it's butterfly. You know, it's supposed to be T, but American people say D instead of T. And a discussion ensued over that lasted, much longer than I wanted it to last. I really wasn't, you know, I wasn't interested in having a conversation about phonics with this lady. I was interested in other probably not very shaman-like things. Oh, I mean, I don't know. That's probably not fair. Shamans have sex, don't they? I'm pretty sure they do. I've never seen it, but I'm pretty sure that they must. I mean, they reproduce. They make little shamans, right? No, they just divide. They split, you know. They split. Shamans just split in two, and then there's a new shaman. Oh, anyway, this show has started off on promising, but I did. That was a long time ago. I haven't thought about that. I don't think about that vacation to the Dominican so much. I wanted to, I was there strictly for drinking and girl chasing, and thought that the indulging that freely for a period of a week would make me feel better, and I came better, not better, better, make me feel better. It didn't. I came home, and I was probably more deeply depressed than I was when I left. So there's a lesson somewhere in that, probably. I haven't managed to analyze it. But thank you for coming along to my little show. Again, my modality, as I'd started to say before I got sidetracked, my modality is the written and spoken word. The spoken word is what you're hearing right now. The written word is on my website, mudtoesasquatch.com. That's MudtoesasquatchCom, where you will find my weekly blog, which is posted on Mondays, if I'm lucky. But sometimes I've been pretty good about getting it there on Mondays. I don't have my day job, any of my various day jobs scheduled on Mondays at all. So I've lately been very successful at getting the Monday blog on there in a timely fashion. This week, I've been kind of messing up the last several weeks. I think I got to it last week. Usually I try to make my blog a topic of discussion on my show. Not discussion, a topic I'm going to talk about. There's no discussion because I don't talk to you. I just talk. Something that I talk about on the show, I usually try and talk about my blog entry, maybe to give some sort of insight into why I chose the subject I chose to write about. So I write about what spirit moved me to write about, just as I speak on the show about what spirit moved me to speak about, and I don't ask questions. That's a lie. I often do ask questions, but I don't get any answers. So to questions like that, I do get answers. That's a lie too. I just often don't like the answers, or I refuse to perceive the answers. But anyway, spirit moves me to do what it is I do. You find the talky stuff here. You find the writing stuff on my website, on my blog, and it comes up every Monday. And this week I wrote about, I'm trying to remember because it's not in front of me, I wrote about an experience I had with my first wife, actually when we got married, not my first wife, my second wife, when we got married out in Sedona, Arizona, because she was living in Phoenix at the time. We had dated, and then she got a job in Arizona, moved away. We kept in touch. She came back for a visit. We spent a lot of time together and decided, what the hell, we'll get married, because both of us have been married before, and we've both done it the right way, quote-unquote right way, which is we dated someone for years and years and years and then finally married them. We hadn't known each other all that long as well. This will work, because the last way it didn't work, this will work. We'll get married. And we did stay married for 6 years before we finally split up. But we got married out her way in Sedona. Is about, if memory serves, an hour and a half maybe north of Phoenix, up towards Fikes. I think about maybe halfway between, my geography is probably all screwed up, somewhere between Phoenix and Flagstaff. You will find Sedona, and it's in the mountains there. I want to say the Red Rock Canyon, something out there in Arizona. I think Red Rock is also, maybe there's a Red Rock in Utah, maybe there's more than one Red Rock. But it's a sort of rugged desert, mountainy, canyony. Somebody put a cheesy tourist trap there and called it Sedona. And then there's a lot of energetic stuff there too. It's supposed to be, they call them vortexes, where there's a lot of that energetic stuff that my New Age friends talk about so much. And you can go, there's a thing called Pink Jeep Tours. You get a pink Jeep and you can go, and then they take you to all the vortexes. Well, and then what else they have there is wedding chapels. You know, it's very popular, or popular enough, I guess, at that time. I think it's actually even more so now. But they have wedding chapels, the way they have in Vegas. They have, wedding checkers where you can walk up and get married. So my fiancé had arranged for us to be married in one of those, and I went down and stayed with her for a few days, and then we went up to Sedona to make everything official, and I wrote the blog about that day, about that experience, about waking up in that hotel room and knowing we were going to go get married that morning, and sitting there over cornflakes, except we didn't have a bowl. We had forgotten to bring bowls, so we had the little hotel room we were staying had a kitchenette, and we brought some supplies, but we haven't really a bowl to eat out of. So I was eating cornflakes out of a styrofoam cup. And then there's also kiwi fruit, which is very exotic to me. I had never seen kiwi fruit before. And it's like it comes with its own sort of bowl, you know, that very thick hide. You kind of eat the scoop the fruit out of it, and it's got that. So there was our bowl. I guess what I could have done was eating the kiwi and put the cornflakes in there. It would have been kind of small of it. Well, then we went and we got married, and it was just us and the preachers and the organist and the photographer. And they were the witnesses, the organist and the photographer. And then the photographer took us out, and we had some pictures taken against the rugged landscape and came in and paid for everything. And we were married. We spent the next day exploring the cheesy tourist trap. We amused a shopkeeper because it was cold. It was very unseasonably cold in Sedona. And we hadn't brought coats or anything, you know, so we went into one of these shops, and we each of us got a sweater, and I got a blue one with Sedona, Arizona, embroidered on the front of it, and there's some sort of a design on there too. And my new wife and I got into a discussion of, you know, how much we should spend and whether we should use our credit cards and all this. And then we let the shopkeeper know that we had been married for about 4 hours, and that made him very amused that we were standing there fighting like that. Not fighting, we're discussing. We're discussing. Then we went back and to what was now our honeymoon suite. It was the same place we were staying before, and there's a hot tub in there. I guess it was a legitimate hot tub. Because the other thing, there's two things, there's a jacuzzi and a hot tub. Jacuzzi is a thing that's built into the tub. You know, it's porcelain and it's got jets coming out of it. The hot tub is sort of the standalone thing that's like usually made out of wood, and it's got its own heating and its own filter and its own, and you throw a bubble wrap over the top of it to keep it warm and all of that. Ours was a hot tub, and it was facing, you know, the window looking out the back of the motel into the rugged landscape. And there was a saguaro outside of our window. And the saguaro is the cactus, the traditional kind of cactus with the arms, you know, the one that you see in the Roadrunner cartoons. And that's the kind of cactus we had outside of our room. And as we were sitting there in the hot tub, enjoying each other's company and sipping on some adult beverages, it started to snow. And that was a very interesting sort of tableau there, sitting in the hot tub. You're very warm, and it's cold and snowy outside, and snow on the cactus. I did enjoy that. And, you know, a lot of those memories since the marriage didn't end up going so well. And in my mind, I often associate the sort of downward spiral that my life took for a while. Associate isn't the right word. I feel like it started there. You know, that was really the first thing. Now, there were things wrong before that. You know, I had all sorts of odd behaviors that were going on and things that I didn't understand, dissatisfactions I had and certain ways that I was compensating for those. And that was going on a long time before I even it was going on probably before I even got my first marriage. But sort of a milestone of this is where I am visibly starting to fail, you know, under the criteria set by society. At the end of my second marriage, at the time, let's say I was 32 years old, my second marriage ended. That was the marker point. This is where I am visibly failing by society standards. And so I've often, repressed isn't the right word. I've chosen to either not recall things that happened in the marriage that were positive and pleasant, or to denigrate them in certain ways, say they weren't important or that didn't really happen, you know, sort of that way. And I'm finding, you know, I was thinking about that experience. I said, you know, that was actually a very nice day. I want to remember that day. I felt good about that day. I felt good about who I was. I felt good about what was happening in my life. It was, and it was just an amazing thing watching it snow on the cactus, watching it snow on the saguaros. That was the title of the piece. The title of the blog is Snow on the Saguaros. So I felt that this blog was a way to begin to reclaim those memories that I have not lost. Obviously, there's certainly a lot of them probably are lost, and that's a shame. But good things that happened. And I'm remembering a video that I'm going to try and find. I want to see if I can find it somewhere. We had a Christmas at the first house that we had, and we had a fireplace in our first house. My God, I can't even. I lived to a degree of opulence that I cannot even begin to imagine today. We had a fireplace in our house, and we had the fire going, and my wife and my stepson and our Siamese cat were stretched out. He was really stretched out. The cat, he was just stretched out the full length in front of that fireplace. He loved it. And it was a Christmas. You know, so we had our Christmas tree up, and it was just, it was joy. It was joy in a box. And, you know, I've let that go, and I want it back. I can experience, I can have that joy. I can experience it without having to attach to it, without having to attach to the people who were involved. I could say, this was a good day. I don't have to then go on and how did I let it go? You know, how could I? You know, how could they do that to me? How could this happen? How could that happen? No, I don't have to go down those paths. I don't have to go down those roads. I can say that was a good day and leave it at that. That I enjoyed that day and leave it at that. This is what I am endeavoring to do, and I will let you know whether or not I am successful. I'm sure I will be successful in some ways, unsuccessful in other ways. Other things that I have noticed here lately, I've noticed that my car has been having some trouble. I had it was in the garage. I have the serpentine belt or serpentine belt, I'm not sure which it is, replaced. It was a very dicey situation. The car had been making some funny noises for some time. I was on the football trip last week, which I told you about at length, and I'm not going to go back to that. Except to say that, you know, I was stuck in that traffic for so long in the car, you know, it started the engine and then started to make some funny noises. Well, it didn't quit making those funny noises. And on Monday evening, I went to my daughter's house to visit her and my granddaughter. And I had the privilege of reading my granddaughter her bedtime story. I was coming back, and the serpentine belt let loose. And, of course, I have no power. You know, I was on the ramp getting onto the, you know, to the interstate going back, and I ended up at the bottom of the ramp. You know, I did manage to get the car off of the pavement and into the berm. And I was parked underneath the overpass, so it was easy for AAA to find me. I didn't tell them exactly where I was. They had to come rescue me for the umpteenth time in my life and get me off the road. And as it turned out, thank you, Spirit, I was not hurt. That was the important thing. Secondly, the car, the damage was easy to fix. It didn't cost me all that much money, and I have some money now, a little bit, since I'm working. So we were able to put the old girl back to rights. I drive a 20-year-old Buick Century. And the whole experience has just sort of put me into this very nervous kind of frame of mind, because a couple of weeks ago I had a tire go down while I was on the freeway on my way to work. And then the second thing happened, and I'm starting to, I guess, sort of lose trust in the car as I'm driving. I'm always thinking of, you know, what's it doing? What's that vibration? What's that noise? It's one of the tires going down, you know. And I experienced that tonight when I was out to this week's football game. And on top of there being, you know, being some long travel, and I'm fighting this thing about my car, you know, about being suspicious of every little thing, every little noise or squeaker that comes out of my car. On top of that, it was also raining. We had quite a rainstorm going, and so I'm trying to navigate through that. And the ball game was actually delayed. The start of the game was delayed by the rain coming down. Well, there was lightning. That's why they delayed it. But it was, you know, half an hour before it got started, and we were late getting back home. I almost made it back to my house to the show. I saw that I wasn't going to make it, so I pulled off here. I'm in the parking lot of Joe's Crab Shack, an establishment which I frequented once, and I just found it a bit too expensive for my wallet to handle. But it was good. The food they made was good. I'm sitting here looking at, you know, it's made up like a, I don't know what you would call it. It's just like just something that's on a pier somewhere, and they've got water out front, which is probably a pond left over from when all this here. I'm in the middle of a mall when all this was constructed, and then they leave a, you know, a puddle of water they use to spray and keep dust down when they're doing the construction, and that never seems to really work. But then the pond is left over. It says, "Hey, here's a pond," and they put a they've put a fountain in the middle of it, and the perimeter of where the water hits from the fountain hits the surface of the pond. That's the only place in the pond that's not covered with algae, which is very unattractive. But it is good for us. It's good for the environment. You know, it's soaking up CO2 and it's making oxygen for us and all of that. So let's try not to give algae a bad name. At least not the green algae. Now the black algae that kills you, I guess we can try and give that a try. We can give that a bad name. But anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, the car. I was coming back from, I'm on my way back to my home to do, first of all, because I live there, and second, because I was going to do this show. And the car started kind of fishtailing, and I'm, it's happening again, and I'm very, sort of tensing up, and my stomach hurts, and I'm getting a cold sweat, and it's like, what are we going to do? Where can I pull off? And I asked... I've been doing this lately, and I asked Spirit, let me tell you first what I did, and then I'll go through the whole description. I said, Spirit, I need some serenity. You got to send me something because I'm just going to go insane sitting in this car, just jumping at every little thing that it does. And as it turned out, there were some people sort of lined up behind me because I was going so slow. And they pulled out to go around me, and I noticed usually when that happens, they pull out sort of angrily, and they make a point of putting a foot on the accelerator and going by, they didn't do that. They were going kind of not that all that much faster than I was, and I noticed they were picking up a lot of water. And I'm like, aha, I had not even noticed that I had driven back into that storm that was putting all the water on us, dropping all the water on us where I was filming the football game. In my part of the country, weather travels from west to east, and I was going to be driving home from west to east. So since I drive faster than the storm, in most cases, I caught up with the storm, and I was being rained on again. And I was so preoccupied with what the car was doing, I didn't even notice how hard it was raining. So, that was it. What was happening in the back was I was hydroplaning. And the appropriate thing for me to do was slow down, which is what I had done. And the people who were trying to pass me were discovering the same thing. Perhaps their car was a little bit better set up, and they hadn't started hydroplaning yet, but they certainly did when they pulled out and started to try to pass me. So one of them did go around me. The other stayed behind me, and we just made kind of a little convoy for as long as it's I think that's very comforting. It's what I try to do in any storm situation, and whether it's rain or snow. Find somebody else to drive with. Just get behind them. And if enough people start to do that, I've noticed that other people seem to like that strategy as well. Because, you'll get a string of about a half a dozen cars, just going along together. It's just, okay, we can all see now. We know what's in front of us. About the only problem you could run into is if the guy in front, goes off the edge of a cliff or something, then you're all following him over. But mostly I think it's a positive type of experience. And I've been doing the football. I don't want to talk too much about the football tonight. This is not a sports show. But I will say, and this is more energy kind of stuff, I get the assignments for the football games like a Monday or Tuesday usually. And I got this one. I think, oh, no. Because I don't like this place. Now, there's nothing wrong with a place. I go to the team, and they have the sort of crazy coach, and they play in a really weird way that I don't like. and the people up in the, you know, the people in the stands are you know, I just, it's an unpleasant experience for me. And at first I was like, I don't want to, you know, this is not a thing I want to do. But I, again, talked to spirit. I said, look, I'm going to let go. I set an intention to let go of my negativity. You know, because I'm the one who's bringing the negativity. They aren't bringing negativity to me. I'm bringing it to them. So I'm just gonna, I'm just gonna separate myself from the negativity. I'm gonna separate myself, or not make an attachment to a desired outcome of mine, which is to see them get their asses kicked. I'm just gonna do my job and go home. And I'd say for the most part, I was pretty successful at that tonight. I set that intention that I was not going to let their style of play bother me. I was not gonna let my desire to see them get defeated when I knew they probably weren't. I wasn't gonna let that bother me. Any of those things really, like, got a couple of twinges here and there, but not too bad. What was really sort of fun and interesting was I was right in there next to the home team's coaches. And coaches sort of have this way about them that everything that, you know, each play is like the most important thing that's ever occurred in Western civilization. And I got the opportunity to hear a couple of those coaches get into an argument with each other, which was also a lot of fun to listen to. I wish them all serenity. They're going to go home and go to bed with their wives. Hopefully the wife that was assigned to each, that was already assigned to each of them, and realize that all of this football stuff is really, you know, not all that important. At least I hope that's what's happened. That's what I wish for them. I wish that they'll go home and make more babies with their wives and just walk away from, not walk away from, but the distance from the aggressiveness and the sort of, I don't know, destructive impulse that comes with the whole football thing. I used to like football. I used to like football a lot. It's changed a lot, and it's changed to the point where I don't like it so much as I used to. So I said I wasn't going to talk about football. Except in a spiritual sense. Did I make that happen or not? Okay, that was my finger you just heard there. I was checking the time. How much longer do I have to speak? How much longer do I have to entertain you? How much longer do I have to tap dance? The tap dancing mud toe. And here I am. I'm going to go to Ash Cave this weekend. We have our, I think it's like every 3 months, so we have a winter gathering and a summer gathering and a spring gathering and a fall gathering. And this is the fall gathering that's coming up, where a bunch of us go out there with our drums or noise-making instruments, and we sit in this big old cave. It isn't what I would classically call a cave. I guess technically it is. It's a big, it's a really huge rock overhang with an amazing waterfall. And it's where the glacier stopped. You know, the glacier cut this big divot out of the rock, and then receded and just left it there. So it's fun to go there. The sound of the drums there is very different inside the cave, and it's very spiritual. And a lot of people, we have on the Facebook page, we have 150 people have indicated they're going to go. I don't know if we're going to have that many, but there will certainly be a lot. And there will be people I haven't seen for a while. So I'm thinking that's going to be fun and some positive energy and to spend the day when I really sort of ignored my friends for a while. Well, with all this getting a job and so forth going on, I think it will be a good direction. I hope to speak to you about it when I speak to you again next week. And we're coming once again to the end of our time together. I want to thank you for joining me. Thank you for your patience with me. As I say what I'm called upon to say, I hope someone somewhere, I mean, the purpose is that somebody somewhere needed to hear these words, and I hope that whoever it was did hear them. If not, I guess you're going to have to call back next week or listen next week. I'll have to call back. That's all I got for now. Thanks for listening, and good night.